Okay, hi.
Hey, what's up?
So I know we discussed before that we're going to avoid asking each other, how are you?
Period.
So I thought we could start. Well, one, maybe we should just introduce ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm like,
So,
you first.
yeah. I'm Seta Morton. I am the assistant curator in public engagement at Dance Based Projects, and I'm talking today to Eve.
Hey, yes, I'm Eve B. Golden. I'm an artist and organizer. Currently battling the slings and arrows of outrageousness in these streets. and yeah, like, and I am one third of the recent project called Petrichor that was released for Dance Space.
Yes. All right. So I thought instead of saying, how are you? I've been thinking about, well, one, where are you? Because you're not
Oh
in
my
New
God.
York right now.
Yes, I'm in LA. I miss the rain, which is like, very, Petrichor, for one, just to kind of skip ahead a little bit, comes from how much I adore, and have always adored the rain, and like knowing when it will rain and knowing when it will end and waiting it out. But I'm in LA. I'm like in the desert. I'm in the simulation, y'all.
What's the weather like in LA today?
It's like, it's kind of one of those things where I'll just say this, is that LA is funny because when every day is just pretty, like it's just bright and no clouds. It changes the way, like, I'm a New Yorker. I have moods. I have seasons. So I'll just say that LA has like no seasons, and I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Well, I was telling you when we released Petrichor, which was a couple of weeks ago now, it rained in New York, and then sort of been like cataloging. Because today it's the like we're getting, whatever end of this tropical storm. So it was like just pouring this morning. And things are like shutting down and there's heavy winds. And then I kind of like was cataloging, tracking back from like every time we've been in conversation around this work. And like I feel like it's been raining like every single time.
Every
Yeah. So, as I said before, it's raining for you in New York.
Man, I can
And
tell it is because, like for one, yeah, I've been. A tree fell not far from where my friend lives, and because of the storm. And I just before, it's so funny. I mean, everyone's safe, but it's funny because just before he was reporting, like the rain whipping through the trees outside his window, and I was just saying to him, I was like, oh gosh, I wish I could like run into the storm's arms. And he was like, it's kind of going crazy right now. Even like, no, but like I need it. And then like 5 minutes later, it's like, yeah, tree fell like not far from me. And I was just like, I'm like, yeah, that's probably from wanting it a little bit too much. Maybe I got a little too eager.
Yeah, wow. I like very consciously moved away from the window earlier. I was like, I love it right here because I love that feeling, like the storm against the window, but I
Yeah,
might get
you were like,
hurt.
let me just step away.
I don't need all that drama today.
Yeah, let me step away a little bit.
Yeah.
It's
I
about
mean,
taking pause,
yeah.
and observing, you can
Yeah.
take it in other ways.
Well, before we get into it all, just want to make sure that you're situated. Another thing I've been thinking around, like, how are you is like, how are you feeling? Do you need anything right now? Should we
Right.
like pour some water, you know.
I know. I'm good right now on my libations. I mean, there's like some stuff I need, but they're not things that are achievable in this moment. Mm-hmm. But I have been thinking about that as well. And I'm going to get those things because all good things come to me. It's just, you know, I think that part of adulting, which is another thing that kind of parallels with the poems in that piece, a part of adulting is being able to tell yourself like no sometimes, or like, mm-hmm. or be like, not right now. Mm-hmm. Or even better, like my new favorite is now is not a good time. Yes. Because it's just so applicable, and it's like a mm-hmm. good way of dismissing a lot of shit, TBH, but like, yeah. But personally within me, it's like I have needs, right? And I have to take care of myself. But like some shit, like you actually, sometimes you have to be able to tell yourself like, now is not a good time. It's like, those things are coming to you. So don't like do something irrational. Or like, you know, or like will it towards you. And like, it's like also about like taking pause and just being like, and taking inventory of what you have. Mm-hmm. And also know that like the universe is providing and ushering things to you. So sometimes like it's about parenting yourself through like that universe connection that we all have that just says like, it's coming to you. All good things come to you. The universe has you. But now is not a good time for you to be, you know, now's not a good time for you to like reach for an adornment or like, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been
like, leap into someone's arms or something like that.
Well, I've been thinking about this. I mean, sort of in preparing to come into our conversations, I've just been sort of just thinking about like, what have we been talking about already lately? And I've been thinking, and like that mantra that, you know, all good things come to you that you've been really saying for months now has really stuck with me. And these ideas of abundance. And, yes. And now I see like all these conversations happening about like these abundant mindsets over scarcity.
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm hearing from you now. Like, how do you, you know, what is it that you have and what can wait?
Right. Because it is like, because there is an abundance. I think that scarcity, as you know, as we've learned, and through collectivism and through like, you know, mutual aid, we discovered that we have a hell of a lot of stuff, a hell of a lot of resources. Even when we consider like the scarcity of what, you know, the 99%, not to, you know, resurrect that term, but when you think about the 99% not having a lot or even like, or enough, and a 1% with like abundance, somehow we're rethinking about what abundance looks like, how to achieve abundance, and also taking inventory of what we all have to share.
Yeah.
And it's a demonstration of, I think that it's kind of setting the framework for others who just are not so cognizant of it to participate in it. Like at some point I want to move away from, I've been working a lot in some charity efforts that include like sales of things to generate funds for stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I pray that like we'll be able to move away from that at some point when folks realize that, you know, your charity doesn't require that you get anything. We've all been conditioned to thinking that like you give to receive.
The exchange.
It's like an exchange. And I'm like, that's so warped, mm-hmm. to say the least, because there are plenty of people that have been granted a lot off the backs of others that, you know, like they didn't give any, thing for that. So like that model is like, so, you know, you just have to give and share and think collectively. You also have to put yourself aside and really consider the needs of others, like in a real way, not like in a Barney way, but like truly that, like, you know, that's another part of the reparenting piece. That's the now's not a good time piece.
Right.
It's like, instead of asking like, what am I going to get for this? You just be like, you know what? We're all in a crisis. Let me make sure like sis is good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if I don't know them.
And like that inventory piece is so important for, you know, those of us with just an abundance of resources. And that inventory of what are you using? What resources do you need? And then what are you hoarding? What are you holding on to?
Exactly. It's like, and also, you know, like I think that the more that it's like, I've been very privileged in doing the, doing a lot of care work, that a lot of, you know, literally good things have come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there is something that's kind of fucked, or I need to stop cursing, but like there's something that's kind of like messed up about the rage is that I connect having anything with, like, and I've done this my whole life, I connect having everything, like, or anything with needing to let something go. And and it's you know, it's probably, like, a trauma response I have to delve into, but it's just funny because part of it's good is that, like, when I get something, I give something.
Mm.
Or, like, you know, when I'm not purchasing something, when someone is just generous with me, then I always make space to give something. Which is good and bad because I also need to stand by one of my other missions, which is that, like, Black trans people are deserving of the utmost care. And that, like, I'm a part of that, that I deserve.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, shifting that mindset of scarcity and, like, resource hoarding, I mean, it's about shifting that idea of, you know, how can you actually, like, learn how to give something, and removing giving from this, this false notion of sacrifice, for a lot of people. Who are in positions of privilege and who have these resources, like what is it that you are actually sacrificing? And like taking inventory of that. And, you know, I think that, you know, we see a lot of people doing a lot of actions right now and it's great and it's amazing, but I think a lot of people need to take that quiet time too, to kind of really suss that out for themselves before involving other people, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, unless you're exorbitantly rich, which is, in my mind, criminal. And, like, not to be like, you know, tangential, but, like, you know, one of the things that I have the biggest issue with celebrity as a construct, especially as it pertains to Black and brown people, is that I wonder... I know that there are people, I'm not talking about like Black people here, but like there are, like, you know, celebrities that might mean well and like care or whatever, but they are so like happy somehow to have like received like, or like to have abundance. So like they're so glad to have escaped or something that they can't even fathom like how to then share it. There suddenly becomes so much red tape and people to answer to when it's about being generous. And then we circle back into like visibility and like spectacle and awareness as like, that's what people with platforms have to offer. And I'm just like, I don't know, I'm calling bully on that, but that's neither here nor there. I mostly am just thinking globally and transnationally, how do we build, like, and this is like on all tiers of just humans, build and provide for each other, and that can that please like be the model now moving forward? Mm. And that means like abolishing a lot of, you know, a lot of excess and crap.
Well, let's, you know, also be specific. You've just recently co-founded, excuse me, the Herbal Mutual Aid Network, which is a grassroots organization providing free plant-based care for Black people seeking support due to the ongoing crisis of racial violence and injustice. This work is so expansive and accumulating. It currently includes sending care boxes to Black individuals and organizers, creating protest safety kits, supplying materials to Black herbalists and organizers, and more. And all of this is funded by donations. So, like, yes, specifically to what you're saying, that it's all about actually that, and funded specifically by white folks. Or that was the original call to action, at least. And this idea of, like, you know, you are going to give something without the return. And I know that they're like, you had to deal with so much backlash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, which is ridiculous. But I wanted to really ask you, you know, the pillars of this work and that the structure of the work is like upheld by these rigorous frameworks of equity and decolonizing in wellness, business and practice and industry.
Absolutely. And,
yeah, I just, you know, I'm really curious how you identified that lack of equity and definitely a lack of decolonizing frameworks within the industry of wellness and care and self-care and herbalism, perhaps.
Well, I have like, there's so many different ways. There's so many different elements that led me there. Mm-hmm. I'll give you like one really tangible way. Is it started when I landed in LA, this was happening before, but my sleep paralysis came back very intensely right at the brink of you know, the clashing in the streets back in the end of May. And my friend Hayden, who's just so dear to me, without any sort of, you know, without any prompting at all, just was like, hey, I have something for you. And I hadn't seen anybody. I was like just here alone, quarantining after leaving upstate New York. And I went to like kind of meet her just kind of out in public, and she gave me a kava tincture. And then she was like, also, tomorrow you have an appointment for acupuncture at this time. Mm. And I like was speechless, because it was like, I couldn't have known. Now I get acupuncture every 2 weeks from the same person. And I couldn't have known how much that would have changed me and how manageable it made this time. Was just that gesture of, I couldn't fathom what you might be going through, but I know these two things can help. Mm. And it was at once like symbolic, but also really tangible care. Mm. It was medicinal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went to the acupuncture and came out like feeling really dazed. And I was about to head to a protest, in fact. And I stopped myself and I was like, this is not my, Well, for one, right now I cannot do that. I feel crazy. Like I was like not crazy, but I feel dazed because mm-hmm. I did acupuncture and it probably released a lot of just like blocked energy inside of me. I need to just go and lie down.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? But the next day I was like, I was kind of filled with a lot of righteous fury. And I was like, God damn it. Like we all deserve similar gestures, both symbolic and tangible, mm-hmm. that say that we deserve better than this. And I wasn't going to stop until that worked out. So I had like hit up a few people, but namely I hit up Remy, who is Good Witch. And with initially just being like, hey, how do we get tinctures to people that need them? And I was already making a list of people that I personally knew that could use that sort of care. And Remy just was down. And the rest is, you know, a working history of how we now have like sent out several hundred boxes to people across the country. And not to mention the protest kits and like the direct actions for houseless women in LA and in New York and like all this other stuff that we've got going on. I mean, stay tuned, but like that we have done. And it all just came out of this specific place is that just in me and this like black, trans, non-binary physicality, I could not fathom where the world went wrong that it took me that long to realize that I deserved that shit, like that I deserved like to be taken care of and that we all deserve to be taken care of. And that's just on period. That's just on period. I just like that's really, that was, and of course there is one other element was that I wasn't about to stop on like getting Remy to, you know, pump out a bunch of medicine for us. It had to be the work of, I was just basically hitting people up directly, brands. Remy did it too, setting up brands and people and folks that are just were insufficiently engaged and was like, I need a donation of these supplies, this amount of money, or I need you to put me in touch with such and such from this brand so I can get this care to black people. And, you know, the response was really great because, I mean, let's just be 1,000% about it. It's like a lot of white people feel extremely, I don't know, was that what the best word? Like guilty, I guess. Mm-hmm. And responded to someone, like, especially in that moment, just being like, you know, at the end of May, just being like, okay, like, sure.
Well, and how generous of you actually, you know what I mean? That ask was actually, it did a lot of that work for I'm sure for a lot of folks who didn't know mm-hmm. where to put that, you know, the guilt or the you know, wanting to engage but not knowing how. And you really actually set up a structure and a very informative structure for people to kind of consider, you know, how they want to share the resources that they have, you know, one in that industry but then also outside of it, you know.
Right.
There's a template there.
Right. And I'm hoping that, like, this is, I want a lot more of that in the sense of I can't stress it enough that we have to be thinking collectively. Mm-hmm. And we have to be thinking about, like, the, you know, not like, you know, I want to be like the greater good, but like, you know, but just, we have to just be thinking about each other. I mean, you're damn right. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that I personally want and need right now, but none of it matters so long as black trans women are being killed at an alarming rate. Nothing matters so long as my, you know, life expectancy is 35. Nothing matters as long as kids are being like, kids, children are being traumatized and abused by police officers and white supremacists all over the country and world. Like, all this other stuff, like, all the shit that, like, I could possibly need, like, in a sense of, like, you know, me being very loose, mm-hmm. Are connected to capitalism. And part of this is like part of mutual aid is about removing capitalism or at least transforming capitalism to work for the collective rather than like spit us the same lie about rags to riches or trickle down.
Right.
I'm like, I'm so through with that. That's very chopped.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you started the Herbal Mutual Aid Network, you also released a book.
Yes, I did.
Good oh Fist gosh. Of Creation. But I actually have my copy next to me right now.
Yay.
And I say this also because of just the sort of storm of work that I see you sort of just like putting out so much. And I think you were like, were you still working on the book in the midst of like sort of the beginning of COVID really hitting New York? I feel like absolutely. You were like still finishing.
Yeah. It was
printed and sold out. What was that process like of like finishing a collection like that? And especially in this, you know, unprecedented climate.
Well, gotta give a huge shout out to Harrison, my publisher and good friends. He was very instrumental in making this pop and put in a lot of work to get it done. I was just like, with this collection, which is very, it's kind of strange how many parallels it really has to how I'm feeling and how I'm moving right now. I mean, it's not that strange. It came from me and it's like, and it's kind of where my mind is always at. But I'll just talk logistically. It was complicated because suddenly I had like, no, I couldn't get to anybody. I was planning on book launch. You know, and I was planning, you know, I really wanted to sign them and share them with people. I wanted to be there. I wanted to know what people thought in a way. Like I was it was really an experiment, this book. I was really curious about like what people were thinking about it. And I couldn't do any of that. Or most of that. And yeah, that was like that was a lot. Like, you know, and it made me feel really, well, aside from how it made me feel, it still happened. And I was very glad with the result. In fact, it's being reprinted now. Look out for an announcement. Yeah, but like also just talking about the content, Good Fist of Creation is like, it's like, it's about like the slipperiness of desire and, you know, the kind of material that I think I was writing this yesterday, so I'm trying to remember like what I wrote, but like kind of the material that passes between the impulse to exist and to evolve and to stagnate and to like build and also to just be indolent. And it couldn't have been more fitting because, you know, the book is about negating one's participation in building a world with people that may not deserve it or people that you don't want to, or because you're just too tired or because it's not right yet. And we're all kind of in a weird limbo all of a sudden. I think that this book is kind of a container for, or like the ideas that this book is and this character's ideas are like a container for limbo.
I just, as you were talking, I just flipped open a page. I've been doing this practice where I'll take books of poetry that I that I'm sitting with, and I'll like kind of set an intention and flip to a page. And so as you were speaking, I flipped open, and it's all things accumulating matter. And I think that, yeah, this idea of accumulation recurs often in this book in a way that, I mean, I think that this publication actually came out at exactly the right moment. And I mean, it really has hit me as like very prophetic.
No. That's sweet.
But yeah, we'll look out for news, for more to come, because I know it's currently sold out, but that you're gonna follow up on that soon. But let's get into Petrichor.
Absolutely.
So we released Petrichor Dance Space a couple weeks ago, and it's a collaborative project between yourself, Stephen Hill, and Quentin Stuckey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a video work. It's 20 minutes long. Everyone should check it out. And it's also a poem that you wrote, Petrichor. And yeah, I'm really curious what your collaborative relationship is with these two artists, and what the process for this project was for the three of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one, both of them are Quentin and Stephen are like my siblings, really, and I have so much love and admiration for both of them, and it really kind of bursted in this. In this project, in this video, it all came from the fact that like Stephen and I have a collaborative practice already, where we've like done radio shows and like kind of built scores and really just kind of are dreaming a lot together and like kind of experimenting and materializing a lot of random good stuff. And I was you know, one day I was just like, I want to do a thing with you, like a live thing with you, like as if we were a band. I think I was just, it was kind of a joke. I was like, I want to like, what would a band look like with us? And I'm sure like Stephen was probably proposed some strange, glitchy, atmospheric, what have you, and I was like, absolutely, like this is exactly what we need. I have just the piece, and like just maybe, and just to talk about Petrichor, the poem, is that Petrichor is my, wait, let me think. Petrichor is my, it was, okay, so that poem had 8 versions, and the first version of it was 13 pages long. And over the course of maybe half a year, it dwindled down to 2. And I would say that if it's not my favorite poem that I've written, and it was my most favorite, it was certainly my most favorite editing moment ever.
Mm.
But if it wasn't my favorite poem ever, it was definitely the most potent of my poems to me. Because when reducing all of the detail, it just became it was sort of like a psychorama sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Where it's giving you a lot of information without like any of the images. In fact, like we just are kind of creating, you are just attaching yourself to what little I give you in that poem. And I know that when I read it, I see really specific things, and they're some of my most potent memories and like the exceptions of a lot of my being. are in that poem. And I really do I really do love that poem so much. And I was glad to share that with Stephen. We had planned and had produced a live version of it once for a project, and we had always envisioned on doing it like again in a better forum. So when you invited us, or when you invited me to participate, I couldn't not. Like, all I could think was I would want to have Stephen there as well. And then back then I also was thinking, God, I would wish I could bring Quentin in, because Quentin is like my favorite dancer. And I just really want to, but at the time the timing wasn't right for a lot of reasons. COVID came and swept that all up. But I knew that we had to build like a build something. And what it ended up being was kind of in each of our pieces, in each of the components of us, you know, that were assembled to make this video, it felt like we were existing in and building a container. And, you know, like some really just potent parts about the video is that like it's Quentin in their living room, and they like remove a lot of stuff out of it, and the camera doesn't move at all. And it's like they were in a sort of like snow globe, and the words were the snow, mm-hmm. and the sounds were the water. Mm-hmm. And it just worked so well. It just worked so well. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I mean, this element of water in your work is so strong. And I it's interesting. You were saying when we first started talking, you were talking about rain, and I can't remember exactly what you were saying, but it really struck me that like this element of water and rain in your work is always like framed by temporality. Mm-hmm. And I was, or that's how I've received it. I was thinking back, you know, and kind of the collective and series that you curated, Fox Wedding, that, you know, I was so excited to be a part of. And this was like, when did we do this? In 20?
Yeah, oh my God.
2017 to 2018, right. 2016 to 2018, or something like this. And a series of poetry readings that invited lots of folks to read their work. And it was such a beautiful time. And Fox Wedding, and I remember the work also, the poem that you wrote, Fox Wedding, a couple years even before that, I think. Mm-hmm. Fox Wedding meaning, you know, like, it's like a sun shower, right?
It is, yeah.
Right. And then I just remembered that today, before we were talking and thinking about petrichor, which is, you know, the smell of rain. I had to look it up, because I was like, right, I like, and like sensorily, like I know what that means, but the definition is a pleasant smell that frequently accompanies the first rain after a long period of warm, dry weather.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was just curious if you have, if you could say more about how water comes into your work, and this idea of like water and time. I don't know, there's something there that I wonder if you could speak to.
Yes, I think that we're, you know, some things like the fact that, hang on one second. One moment. Just gonna put my phone on the charger. But one thing that I remember learning as a kid was that the atmosphere and the air is like made of water. And it never, like, I wasn't the same since. Like, the idea of, like, pushing through, like, you know, all the time I'm just, like, push through, girl, or, like, I'm pushing through, or, like, or even when I think about, you know, dragging myself through events that are unsavory, to say the least, I consider it to be pushing through something. And the something is fluid. Mm. Water is, or like time itself is a fluid material. Mm-hmm. And the more sure I become of that, the more time bends around what I need it to be. Which circles right back to my mantra right now, which is that all good things come to me, is that the sureness that, like, I'm made of what I'm pushing through means that, like, that I'm also time, that I'm also water. I think a lot about what it means to be like water. And I also got to shout out Hayden again, because, like, Hayden and I talk about water a lot. And I just, God, it's, there's so much there that I can't even begin, but I just have a sureness that it's there. God, it's like the thing is that it becomes so emotional to me, and it loses its logic, because that's just what understanding, that's how my understanding of existence has, what it's brought me to. The logic is, like, you know, ebbed, and I just sort of break with the waves a little bit.
Well, maybe it's less logic and more knowledge.
Right. It's like, what I'm certain of is of, like, I'm just certain of fluidity. Mm-hmm. And I'm also certain of release and retention. Mm. And those are elementally connected to the material that is water. And it's something that's abundant, and it's something that we're made of. And it's something that we exist around and push through. And I think that the work that I make, and the way that I participate with the world is my attempt to be like water, if not my ode to fluidity, to water, to liquid. Mm. I'm like, bitch, I'm the gender fluid.
So
I'm sorry, let me shut up. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, no, but seriously though. I'm kinda like, if it was a material, like, it's just like the fluid. It's the flow.
I made a note earlier too about, I think what really was so emotional for me in watching the video is, I mean, Quentin's movements to me call to water and ocean so strongly. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, throughout the 20 minutes, there is this accumulation of sweat on the body. Mm-hmm. And that that visceral bodily evidence of labor as fluid, yeah, and as water. And then hearing you speak to this idea of, like, the connection of that, of pushing through it, because you're also made of it, and the possibility there. There's something else that you, in the book today that I was reading and flipping through. I don't know if I'll find it now. Here, yeah. Licking my fingers clean is to know that what fails to stop the sun from rising, if formed against me, won't prosper. Hearing you talk about, you know, pushing through what you are made of, just called that line back to me.
It's just to speak on Quentin for a second before I get into Good First Appreciation, the poem, it's like Quentin really embodied, like deeply embodied the poems and the sentiments in it. And I think it just, honestly, I'm so incredibly proud of that video because it was just seamless execution on all parts that we all just, like, it was, you know, of my ramblings just now. That was like the execution of those sentiments that I find so dear and so, and I have such a sureness about. Mm. And when I watch, you know, there are times where Quentin is like ice and vapor and like a body of water and a drop of water and a cloud, like all of these different kind of materials, or all these different manifestations of the material. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like so like grateful for them. Like I can't even tell you. And then not to mention like Steven, who just really ran with a lot of directions and just at some point in our like you know, in our kind of back and forth and like sending each other stuff, just kind of sent me the final product. And I was like probably having a really like, to put it lightly, taxing day. Mm. And it was, the sound was, it was just done. Mm. And I was like, this is as good as it could possibly be. And I couldn't be happier. And it just really worked. So thank you for inviting us to do that. And
thank you so much. It's so generous and beautiful. And you know, I know I speak for everybody at Dance Space when I say we're just really thrilled to be able to host it on the Journal. Well, I'm looking at the time. I feel like we should probably come to a close soon, but I was wondering if you might read Petrichor for us, or any piece, or anything you might want to share.
Oh, absolutely. I can give a portion of it. Wait, give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
I'm like, the thing is that I've, you know, what people haven't, you know, people don't get to see is like how many times I've privately read Petrichor and just like wept. Mm-hmm. Because it really is so dear to me. And there's some moments in it where there are just some moments in it that really speak to how I exist now and how I take care of myself and how I don't know. Like, it's just really huge to me. Mm. So yeah, I'll read you a little piece. Let me just wait for this plane to pass by. I'll read the end. Seldom face full of empty room, hidden place, full of water, behind the teeth, face behind Doppling blue, not you, through my eyelids red, full of days, stuffed air, the yolk, the something newer still, the face unlike my face. Mama's just tired baby, mama's just tired baby, stuffed air in the blue sagging, full of won't you at long last be quiet baby, lined in red white. First, the days, old, the red, white, face like my face, the bright, the red, yellow, yolk behind eyelids, new, fray yellow, face full of lines, water full of tired eye, following the cold above spelling.
Thank you.
Of course.
I always Thank love you. Hearing you read.
No,
I really do.
I love hearing you read. Like, Aww. Listen, I miss our fox wedding days.
I know, Soon we come. Need to, yeah.
Yeah. It'll come back. It'll be back.
I trust it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Eve, again, for talking to me today, and really looking forward to all the good things that are coming for you.
Me too. And yeah. for you.
Okay. All right. I love you too.